Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I want to ask Andy Katz why Cam Reddish, no one wants him. Jay Billis ripped him a couple days ago on Bull and Fox. So let's ask Andy Katz, courtesy of NBA TV. They got over 30 hours of around-the-clock NBA free agency coverage starting Thursday, June 27th, continuing daily through Thursday, July 4th. But, of course, they're going all throughout the NBA draft. And Andy Katz joins us on the show today. Andy, thanks for joining us.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Andy Katz on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So the Cavs sit at fifth right now. Who do you think makes the most sense towards those Cleveland Cavaliers if they stay in that number five spot?
Well, when you get to five in this draft, because the draft really starts at four, you know, you're looking at best player fit. And for Cleveland, as you know better than I do, I mean, they obviously need a lot of help. And for John Beilein, so that's where I'm thinking here, for all the Cavs picks, who fits John Beilein? And to me, it would end up being potentially, you know, if you were to pair up a DeAndre Hunter, you know, if they wanted to have another lead guard with Colin Sexton and Kobe White is there staring at them with Darius Garland, I could see them going with White over Garland because White was a proven commodity this year. And John Beilein, I think, will lean a little bit more on what he saw rather than what he is projecting. And, you know, I'm not saying that Garland can't deliver, but we just don't know because he got hurt a handful of games into the season. Had he stayed healthy, Vanderbilt wouldn't have been 0-18 in the SEC. Probably would be right there with John Morant, possibly, but we don't know that. And with Kobe White, he's an electrifying player. You could argue that there's a lot of similarities with Colin Sexton, no question. You know, could both coexist? Maybe, maybe not. But I do know that John Beilein loves offense, and he likes to, you know, he loves skilled players who can make shots, who are versatile. Who he feels comfortable, he can put in a variety of sets. And so that's one thing that you have to look at. If it's Culver or Hunter, you know, you've got with both players, I think you've got two players who are scratching the surface offensively, but have already established themselves defensively. And they have a skill set that will transfer where, especially for a new coach, you know, in the NBA and someone like John Beilein, you know, who hired a defensive coordinator, Luke Jokic, at Michigan his last, you know, couple of years. You've got two guys that want to play defense who, you know, won't hesitate to be called on to defend. And so I think you can't go wrong with either one of those two guys because they got great length. They're only going to get better offensively, and they love to defend.
Andy Katz joined us on the hotline. We're talking about Cam Reddish, and we really don't understand. When you look at the guy, he looks the part of an NBA player. He has all the moves, has the step back, and has size. Yet, everybody wants to stay away from him. Is there a chance everybody's missing out on what could be one of the steals of the draft?
Yeah, I mean, possibly. The thing with Cam Reddish, and this is what maybe is a little unfair, is that, you know, he was like the fifth Beatle, okay, because people forget about him, and he was completely overshadowed. And I will just tell you, because I've interviewed him multiple times, he's clearly the most introverted of the group. Zion and RJ had this brotherhood that Duke likes to throw around, but they also really did, you know, were like brothers. I mean, they were two peas in a pod, very gregarious, outspoken, you know, sort of the life of the party, if you will. Trey Jones, who was, I wouldn't say the leader of the pack, but a very, you know, competent, experienced in terms of being able to lead, even though he was a freshman, point guard, you know, his brother played there, played in the NBA. And then Cam was the other guy. And because he's much more of an introvert, it was difficult for him to be assertive. And I think that sort of covered the persona of him, because he wasn't the talkative one. He wasn't the one that was going to be the one that stood out. You know, he had that moment against Florida State where he made the big shot. If I'm not mistaken, I think RJ Barrett was sick that game. And it was Reddish who made the game winner against Florida State. But he still didn't seek that kind of attention. And so I think that has clouded him a little bit in this grouping because he's not the one that everyone thinks about. And, you know, I think that lends itself to a perception of maybe he's moody because he's not out there and being, you know, the talkative one. But my experience was, in interviewing, he didn't want to be because that wasn't in his wheelhouse. It just didn't come natural to him. Now, maybe that's who he is. I don't know, but I just tell you from
Andy,
my vantage point,
Andy,
what I saw.
And can I ask you something? Yeah. Andy Katz joining us. Some people have used the term lazy, and that's a strong thing to do. I mean, that you might as well call someone a liar if you're calling them lazy. Can you dispel any of that about Cam Reddish?
Well, I mean, look, I wasn't around him every day, so I can't speak to that. I wasn't at practice every day, so okay. But. You know, I would be surprised by that. And I think it is more, you know, that he just wasn't the one, you know, who was featured. And maybe that rubbed him the wrong way. Maybe he didn't expect, you know, the other two to be treated like rock stars. But we'll see. I think as a freshman, it's probably more unfair to label him as that because they're still so young and, you know, maybe if he had stayed another year where he would have been the featured guy, that he would have relished that role and embraced it, and we would have seen a different player. But I do think that it might serve him better if he's not on a team where he's expected to be the star. So, for example, if he went to Atlanta, say, let's say he drops to 8 or 10, or maybe he's not dropping, maybe that's just where he should be, you know, when it's Trae Young's team, maybe that helps him to come out of his shell if he's not the guy and not expected. And look, in Cleveland, he wouldn't be expected to be either, but maybe they need him to push out a little bit further. I'm not sure.
Andy Katz joining us on the show, NBA TV. Remember, offering over 30 hours around-the-clock coverage, NBA free agency starting next Thursday. Follow him on Twitter, at TheAndyKatz. I want to go back to what you said about John Beilein. You said they want to find a guy who might be the right fit for John. How important is that? What type of guy is he looking for? Do you think he's looking for? And two, we do this in the NFL all the time, the draft, is what's fit and what's just the best overall player? Should they just be looking for talent overall, or is there a nice mix where at 5, you can find a guy who might be better than some of the guys who are projected because he fits with what John wants to do?
Well, I think it's a combination. I'll say this. I think for sure further down in the draft, you know, if they keep that pick late, it could definitely be a guy that fits John Beilein. And, you know, look, I don't know if this is going to happen. We did our mock draft yesterday on NBA TV. It's re-airing today. But hypothetically, you know, if someone like Grant Williams is on their mock draft and he's available, I think he would be an absolute home run, someone like that for John Beilein. And what I mean by that is a player who is high character, high basketball IQ, who is a sponge, who will be a great locker room guy, who will go in and do everything he asks and not say boo about it. You know, I think if they keep that pick late in the first, John Beilein's going to want and embrace a player like that for his first year as a head coach, you know, and a veteran college player who he knows that will just do everything to be on that team and do everything right in the locker room. And I think there's going to be value at that late pick for someone like John that would fit perfectly on this team.
Andy Katz joined us on the hotline. We've seen Toronto Raptors with Kawhi Leonard, who was picked 15th overall, win a championship. Milwaukee, Eastern Conference Finals, Greek Freak, 15th overall. Are NBA teams getting worse at drafting, or are those just anomalies?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
Are they getting worse at drafting, meaning why weren't those players taken higher? Are they get this notion that maybe the draft isn't the science that we used to think it was, where you had to pick in the top three?
Well, you know, I just don't think that's going to change, where the potential of the stars are going to go at the top. But the value we're seeing further down, you know, I think that puts a premium on, you know, the staff to do a great job of evaluations. I mean, and this goes on in college, too, because think about it. What we had going deep in the playoffs, you know, Kawhi Leonard, not recruited by a lot of Pac-12 schools. He ends up at San Diego State. Damian Lillard, ends up at Weber State, not recruited by a lot of schools at a higher level. Fred VanVleet, same deal, ends up at Wichita. You know, there's so many examples of this. And I think what happens is then those guys get to the NBA. They are driven. They weren't coddled. And they are just ready to just absolutely, you know, create a name for themselves, work their tail off, and help their team, you know, achieve a higher level. And I think that, you know, so often we love to label these drafts, oh, after the top three, there's nothing. I think, you know, top three for now, as of now, I would say those are the three potential stars. But after that, I think there is going to be a lot of very solid rotation players, and those are the kind of players that we've seen in the playoffs, like the Pascal Siakams, you know, that end up helping you win championships. And so, and you know, in Cleveland, you know, someone like Thompson, who knew his role and helped the Cavs win a championship. Players like that that will come in and have a skill set and then fulfill it.
He's one of the best when it comes to the game of basketball. Follow him on Twitter, at TheAndyKatz. It's Andy Katz. Andy, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Andy Katz joining us on the show from NBA TV on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Like what he said? Should we be thinking about Cam Reddish at number five?
Let's get to this one.
All right. What we think they should do and maybe even abolishing the draft. It's a topic again because it is June. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lima, Live with the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.